Hey, JP here. In today's episode, we got a good one. We're going to talk about why real estate is so hard right now. There's a lot going on. We've got threat of war, maybe war on two different fronts, high interest rates, inflation, all the things. And on top of that, it's making doing real estate difficult. So we're going to talk about that in today's episode. Stay tuned.
JP, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
You know, living the dream, one day at a time.
Yep. Fall has fallen.
It has fallen. Yes.
In Georgia.
It's getting chilly. It sucks. I'm very trained to wake up when the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to
sleep
wake
it in,
up.
Baby.
Yeah. It's I'm still getting up at like 5:30 or so, but
dark.
Hopefully in a few weeks when the time changes, we'll be back on the regular cadence. But
yep. Yeah, I've got my my lumberjack flannel thing going on.
Yeah. I've noticed that. You've had that the last couple of times we've chatted here.
Yeah, I had my orange one. So I found this brand Kuhl. They don't pay me. You can if you want, by the way, Kuhl. K-U-H-L. When I was getting into shooting, like I realized you got to find clothes. And I found a brand. It's like an outdoor brand for like hiking and outdoor things. But like it works really well for other things. So it's been great and comfortable. And I'm excited to use all their wool, merino, underwear, and long johns when I do my 4-day night vision class in next month.
All right.
So Mr. Matt, I wanted to talk about what's making multifamily real estate so tough right now. I have some ideas, but I want to hear your ideas.
Yeah. So are we talking about the acquisition side of things, the operation side of things, all of the above?
I think all of the above. I don't think there's any area that we can't talk about.
Yeah.
So you know, I can do the act side and you can do the op side.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say that we've certainly noticed this in some of our properties and how can I describe this? So when we acquired some of these properties, it was right before essentially the government started infusing a lot of capital into the industry, right? Or into the economy.
Interest rates were low. We started getting
interest rates were low. Everything
COVID wasn't really around, but then it came around, right?
Yep. Everything was, you know, humming along very, very well. And then, you know, all of a sudden 6 months ago, you know, all of that stuff stopped. There wasn't any more free money or anything like that. So, you know, we weren't able to increase rents as much as what we had historically been in the past. And, you know, people just seem to be staying put a little bit more than what they had been in the last, you know, couple of years that, you know, we kind of got used to seeing a certain amount of, you know, spending and increases and movement and all of that. And everything's been off a little bit this year, right? So I'd say from an operational standpoint, that certainly has been, you know, a burden. And then you also have all of the costs associated with all the materials. All of that stuff is more expensive. It keeps going up. You know, the insurance keeps going up, right? So all the expenses keep going up, but the income may not necessarily keep going up. So that's the rub with some of these things that we're seeing right now. So
that's the rub. Yeah, and I think on the acquisition side, you know, for us last year, so our goal at our company is to acquire 4 properties a year, right? And last year, 2022 was a hard year. No, all the years were hard. 22 was hard. We were able to do one deal. We tried doing a second deal, and that didn't work out. But this year, it's been a blur, Matt. I was just thinking about when we were trying to do. We bought Riverdale, and then we were trying to do it in Buckhead. Buckhead was last year.
Yeah.
So we closed on a deal in April. We bought it, started in December of the previous year, 2021.
Yep.
It closed in 22 in April. We got another deal under contract in April as well for a deal in Buckhead. And that thing dragged on for the entire year. I mean, we tried bringing it back to life in December. The reason why it dragged on was because the interest rates kept changing. When you're buying a property, you're buying an apartment complex, the loan proceeds that you get, the loan value, size of the loan is based on property's ability to maintain and service that loan, i.e. collect rents, you pay your expenses, how much is left over, how much of a loan can you pay for? Well, if rates are going higher, it's making that loan more expensive, and they're going to reduce the amount of loan you're going to get. what makes real estate work so well is leverage, leveraging your property, being able to take on a senior loan for low interest rate. So you don't have to take it from equity helps to do that. And so it means you have to bring in more equity, which is more expensive, to offset the loss of the cheap senior debt. That's a lot of complex words there, but that's how it works out. And so it's like the goalpost keeps moving, and it takes, you know, unfortunately loans don't close in 2 weeks. They take 60 to 90 days. It takes forever. And you know, you're 30 days in, 40 days in, and then the interest rate changes, and then they have to resize the loan, and you have to go back and renegotiate the loan. If the borrower, the seller, doesn't want to sell it to you, then you got a thing there. So that happened to us. So having interest rates change so much, so fast, in a short period of time, and go up so high, were like double whammies. And so it was really difficult for us to close a deal, that second deal. And you know, where we are this year, we started the year, usually the year starts in January. We were in the same boat again, like trying to look at deals again. A lot of the sellers have kind of pulled back. A lot of buyers like us have also pulled back. We pulled back late in the year because we were finding it was hard to make all these things work. Mm-hmm. You know, as a business where our main source of revenue on the acquisition side or the business development side is on doing deals, it's hard to keep the lights on. So instead, we've been able to use the time to refocus a little bit, double down on marketing and growing our investor list and things like that. But it is very, very tough out there. You know, Matt, one of the guys in our circle here, Hunter, you know, he was talking about how, like, if you're trying to raise capital or do deals now, I think his estimation is like it's three times harder now than it has been past. Mm-hmm. So I think for a lot of people, it's a matter of surviving through this, which sucks because I don't like this lack mentality of like survival. I don't want to survive through this. I want to thrive through this.
Yep.
But that just seems to be part of the thing right now.
Yeah, there's a moniker that they started circling around: survive till 25, right?
It started. So. No, it was survived. It was there was a 24 in there.
Was it
originally? It was like survive the 24 or something like that, and then then it became
survive. It sounds better. Survive till 25. It does. So hopefully, it's only 24.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
But you know, so you know, in all seriousness, though, you know, in these types of times, you can use this as a way to be able to, you know, retool operations and, you know, hone in on costs and make sure that, you know, you're not losing money anywhere. And there's also, you know, opportunities to be able to start looking into new areas as well, right? So we've been in this for a number of years now and have some great connections to some great operators, and we're really excited about being able to partner with some of them and help them, you know, essentially bring their opportunities.
Almost 7 years, Matt.
What's that?
Almost 7 years.
I know, right? It's almost a decade. we're pushing it. So, you know, so again, it's a shitty time, but at the same time, it's also good to be able to, you know, kind of get everything in order, and, you know, you're able to step back because some of the business isn't going on. You're able to step back and look at things and, you know, be able to see what is it that we actually do need? Can we trim some of the fat? Do we, you know, change things? And where are the opportunities right now to be able to move forward with? So, you know, there is some exciting things on the horizon as well. It's not all doom and gloom.
No, it's not all doom and gloom. I think, there's a lesson, there's a life lesson here somewhere, right? There's a couple lessons here we could talk about, man. So, you know, as times change, right, and the things that you were doing before no longer work anymore, it's an opportunity to reevaluate, right? And at least for us right now, especially because real estate is at least the commercial side, is pretty seasonal, right? Like really nothing happens until January goes, and it goes really from January to about October, November. And then most people that are sellers are like, yeah, we're kind of done for the holiday season. So it's great for us because we get some breathing room, because I feel like it's go, go, go the remaining part of the year, right? And so for us, being able to kind of push pause, late August, September, right? Where we can kind of stop on the acquisition side and focus on how do we reposition ourselves so that we come into the new year, January, middle of January or so, we're poised to take advantage of whatever changes are in the marketplace and make those adjustments. Yeah. The other piece too, I want to say, is I feel like over the last couple of weeks, we've maybe rethought, reevaluated, or became, at least on my end, open to a different way of how we imagined operating the business. I'll go into this. So like, I think for us, when we planned out how we were going to do significant, it was, we're going to buy 4 properties a year and we're going to grow the business by just doing that over a couple of years and do our thing. But it's been hard the last 3 years, really hard. Mm-hmm. You know, we couldn't do 4 deals. We could do 1 deal on average a year. And that's not enough. We need more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, us refocusing and pivoting on different strategy of, you know, now that we have the operational experience, moving into a different model, a fund-to-fund models. Matt, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so this is really exciting. And I'll say by dumb luck, we set up the right...
Not dumb luck.
Well, we set up the right fund to be able to do this basically about a year ago, before we really even knew about this whole model or anything. And again, we've got great networks. We've spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars on education over the course of the last few years. So we're tied into some great networks of some great operators. And there's a business model basically called a fund of funds that allows us to be able to partner with other great operators and help them raise money and contribute some of our experience on their projects as well. So what this basically allows us to do is also branch out into other, other verticals. So again, partnering with some of the best in the business in mobile home parks or self storage units or what have you.
Build to rent or oil and gas, some cool stuff. There's
all kinds of opportunities out there, and we're going to be able to be well positioned to, again, partner with some of the best in the business. And what's actually really interesting about this is we also are part of a group of people that are all have the same type of mentality where everyone is coming together and working to collectively hash out all the due diligence and do all the underwriting and, you know, look over the deal. So it's not, you know, just a few people looking at this. We're going to have teams of people in different companies stress testing these things and making sure that these are the best of the best opportunities out there for investment. So,
yeah, that's an interesting one, Matt, because like we're, you know, you and I are smart, but we're also going to like put our brains together with, you know, half a dozen other super smart people that have been in the business the same amount of time or longer than we have mm-hmm. and have a different perspective on it. So it really helps. It benefits the investor at the end of the day.
Because you're able to understand that you're getting results from a collective of people that, you know, have come together. So really, really strong, really powerful. That's one of the things that I'm, you know, most excited about. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a deal junkie too, right? So this opens up the opportunity to be able to see different types of deals, different types of opportunities that we wouldn't normally focus on.
Or it would take us longer to get there. Like, you know, I don't know how long we'd have to do apartment real estate before we moved on to the next phase of that, which might be development or mobile home or something.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, there's all kinds of cool opportunities. And we just got back from an event 2 weeks ago now, I think it was, or so.
In my favorite place in the world.
What's that?
My favorite place in the world.
Yes.
I have a new favorite place. What is it, Matt?
Yeah, JP's a fan of New Orleans. So, so, I mean, you know, there was a couple hundred people there, 150 people there of, very, very high caliber, very successful in various different industries. So, you know, again, we were able to connect with them and really excited about some of the opportunities that are coming down the pike. So
it's all good stuff.
More to come on that.
That's right. More to come. All right. So with that, on that note, I think we covered our agenda here of like, why is real estate so hard right now? Because it is. But because it is, it's also like some really good opportunity. I continue to say that. You know, if we had a mountain of cash, there's a bunch of deals that I'd go out and buy right now because of all leveraging, taking advantage of all the market conditions, lack of buyers in the marketplace, the lack of liquidity, all those things. They're all great buying opportunities. There's blood on the streets.
Yep.
It's a good quotable right there.
A great way to look at this too, which I think this was Hunter who said this as well. People look at times like this. Everybody's always heard that times like this, this is when all the money is made. This is when the most money is made. And when you think back on the last time that we went through something like this in 2008, 2009, people have said this, plenty of times, where today we're looking at the people that were buying back then, and they said, it's easy for you to say like how easy all of this stuff is because you were buying back in, 2010, 2011. Like looking back now, I would have loved to have bought things back in 2010, 2011. It would be a completely different situation, but we're in that situation right now. So we need to be able to acquire these things and participate in these things so that in 10 years from now, we can be saying, yeah, look, we were buying, in 2023, 2024, we're looked at the smart ones that, saw things coming, right? But it's all market timing.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull out the movie quote.
Uh-oh.
What you're seeing now is happening now. When does this happen in the movie?
I just watched that.
Baseballs?
Yes. I just watched it like 2 weeks ago. It was on HBO. It was like, I haven't seen that in years. So
you cannot watch that movie with me in person because I just
do you know the whole thing?
I can't help myself.
Yeah, we've been jammed. Raspberry.
Who made that man a gunner?
Yeah.
I did. Beef my cousin.
That's a good one.
All right, Matt. Good talking to you, buddy.
See ya.
All right, see you next time. Hey, if you like this, go ahead and like and subscribe. It helps us out. See you next time.